Hi, I'm Adil Bandukwala.
And I'm Kaushik Satish, and this is the Great Indian Marketing Show, where we go behind the scenes with top marketing leaders.
We uncover not just what marketers do, but how. Our guest today is Karen Holland, Vice President of Marketing for Asia Pacific and Japan at Dell Technologies. In this role, Karen is responsible for building Dell's brand, thought leadership, and value proposition across the region and supporting business growth. She leads APJ marketing strategy, demand gen, direct and channel marketing, digital and social marketing innovations, and drives Dell's consumer targeting and engagement strategies to grow the company's customer base and create high-quality customer experiences.
A seasoned global marketer and executive with over 30 years of experience, Karen has spent 17 years in Asia, where she held senior marketing leadership positions in major technology companies. Prior to joining Dell, Karen served as the global head of content strategy for Cognizant. She was the APJ Vice President of Marketing at Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and Senior Marketing Director APAC for RSA.
Based in Singapore, Karen holds a degree in chemistry from the University of Bristol in the UK and a master's in international marketing management from École Supérieure de Commerce in Toulouse, France. Karen has benefited from executive education studies both at INSEAD and the Center for Creative Leadership and is a graduate of the Australian Institute of Company Directors and a certified professional coach. Karen, welcome to the Great Indian Marketing Show. We're so pleased to have you with us today.
I'm looking forward to the session.
Karen, it's so cool to be speaking to somebody from Dell. I used to be a Dell alum. I joined back in 2011 and was there till 2013, part of Brent Amundsen and Savneet Shergill's org. Absolutely loved my experience at Dell. It was my first job, my first corporate gig, and I love the culture. This is when Dell used to be a public company, then it went private, and then it's back public. So I've really followed Dell. I've enjoyed the journey, and I really saw Dell being the pioneer when it comes to social media. They were one of the first ones to launch social media command centers, leading from the front. So it's so cool to be speaking to you.
Really delighted to speak to you. And yes, you're absolutely right. Dell is a wonderful company. I've now been on board for actually just coming up to a year. So I started in Dell during the pandemic, and it's been a wonderful journey so far. Really enjoying it.
So Karen, you've had a successful career spanning over 30 years and 4 countries in advertising, communications, and marketing. Tell us a little about your career journey.
Yeah, happy to. And look, it makes me sound a little old, I know, but I have to say I've been extremely blessed in my career journey as I've been able to follow my passions. I've been able to live and work in multiple countries, take on roles that have stretched me out of my comfort zone. And I've had the privilege to lead significant change initiatives. And look, at the same time, I've really lived through the most amazing transformations of our industry. When I think back, I started in advertising 30 years ago in London. And when media planning and buying was done by humans versus machines, can you imagine that? Business was done face-to-face. There was no digital marketing as it was pre-internet. And there was no email marketing because there was no email. So it was a completely different world. Now, I would say that each role that I've had has taught me something different.
Digging a little deeper into that, Karen, I'd love to understand, what has each role taught you?
So my early career in consumer advertising taught me to put the customer first and to strive for customer and client satisfaction. Look, we had long hours in agency environment and, you know, kind of little pay at that stage, but it taught me rigor, it taught me resilience, and also the importance of having fun in the workplace, especially in intense periods. So after 4 years in advertising in London, I moved to Belgium, and I worked for an international public affairs and communications agency. I was surrounded by team members from all over Europe, speaking multiple languages. And it was really there that I got to understand the importance and sheer power of diversity. It was an environment that fostered, you know, a lot of thinking differently and challenging the status quo. We worked in small groups, a little like the agile culture today, and the experience was incredibly bonding. So while working there, I was selected to work in-house on an assignment at Levi Strauss to manage crisis communications for Europe during a phase when a lot of the European factories were closing down. And the key learning that I had from that period was, one, I really loved being in-house, as I enjoyed being closer to the business, solving business problems, seeing the impact of what I was proposing, which was kind of different to the agency world. And secondly, I learned to be extremely focused and calm in a crisis, which wasn't necessarily a skill that I knew I had.
Karen, what did this particular experience do for you? Did it change your career trajectory, catapult you to a completely different level? Would love to know more.
So that experience then sparked the next phase of my career, which was then all in-house in B2B environments. And it actually sparked my move to Singapore to develop the APJ marketing function for Tyco Fire and Security, as it was then known. And then my shift to the IT industry, which is where I have been since. So I've now held senior marketing leadership roles in the IT industry for over 13 years. And there are lots of things that I love about the IT industry, but let me just sum up three of them. One, it's the pace of change. As a marketer, that's very exciting. You learn to develop agility, and it's an environment that really fosters innovation. Secondly, the level of B2B marketing sophistication and the advanced use of data analytics and AI is really at its forefront in the tech industry. And I'm really proud to say that I work for a company with such skilled professionals and forward-looking thinking. So at Dell, marketing really guides the sales makers each quarter on what accounts to call, which play, based on propensity scoring and advanced analytics. And we've built tools and to really guide marketing and sales actions to optimize the quality and the number of our buyers each quarter. So in addition to, you know, investments in the platform to really facilitate that 360-degree view of our customers and allow us to develop more personalized marketing, we also invest very heavily in product innovations, messaging, thought leadership, to just ensure that we stay ahead of customer needs. And then the third thing I love about the IT industry is just the opportunity to leverage tech to do good in the world. For example, at Dell, we believe in driving human progress through technology and have established goals around diversity and inclusion, around sustainability and impacting lives. And later in the podcast, I'll touch on some of these.
That is such an awesome story. Thank you so much for sharing that, Karen. You've had a phenomenal journey. Karen, as you walk through all these years that you've spent across different countries, what's been the biggest learning in your career so far?
Oh, well, look, there's been many, of course, over the period, but I've had the privilege of leading quite a few major transformations during my career. For example, at HPE, I led with a small team the digital transformation of the marketing function in APJ. It was really a multi-pronged transformation. We transformed the tech, we brought in a new agency, we transformed the model. We moved from a decentralized country model to an APJ digital demand center model. We looked at different skill sets. So it was really a wholesale transformation. I also led in APJ the rebranding of HP to HPE following the largest separation in the history of tech at the time. So through these experiences, I would say I've taken away five key learnings. One, the power of an ambitious shared goal for motivating the wider team. Look, we all want to feel connected. We all want to feel that we're making a difference and being part of something big. So that the power of that shared purpose, that shared goal is critical. The second thing that I've learned is that a big change is best managed by a small, diverse team. So I always try to involve team members who will challenge the status quo, offer diverse opinions, question their assumptions, and really think a little bit outside the box. And then the third thing is the importance of flexibility. In any change, there will be things that don't go according to plan, parameters that change, deadlines that slip. I think everyone on the call will understand what I'm talking about. But it's important that we can learn quickly and adapt. And then for the criticality of communication, before, during, and after the change, to really bring people on the journey, have that open communication throughout. And then finally, I would say the human factor. I would say never stop asking questions to understand how things are landing, how things are going, what challenges are coming up for people. For example, when we moved to a centralized digital demand center, which made sense as a model, we suddenly found that the country folks no longer felt that they owned digital marketing and that it was somebody else's responsibility. So we heard the teams and we put in place digital champions who were then accountable for reviewing, for approving the plan, for reporting out to the business. And that then changed the equation. So yeah, I think the human factor is always something that we need to take into consideration. So yeah, a lot of learnings, but they're just a few of them.
Karen, when you look back at your career and you look at the growth that you've had and you look at the different roles and challenges that you've sort of straddled, can you talk to us a bit about what role mentorship played in helping you sort of navigate your career?
Well, that's an awesome question. I wouldn't be in Singapore today if it hadn't been for a mentor in the US 18 years ago who helped guide my career path and orientate me towards gaining APJ experience. Now, at that time, my career aspiration was to take on a global marketing leadership role. I'd been in an EMEA marketing leadership role for a number of years, and APJ experience would put me in a strong position, provide me with a fairly unique background for a global position. So that mentorship really opened my eyes to different possibilities, to different points of view. Now, I would say that was probably the old view of mentorship, where it was someone older, more experienced, advising and guiding someone younger. However, as I progressed through my career, I see mentorship now as something that really crosses all levels. So yes, my experience, advice and insights will be valuable to someone who's rising through the ranks. But similarly, that person's experience, insights and perspectives may help me to think differently and often more innovatively. In fact, in my last company, I had to set up a team from scratch. And my first team member was a young professional in his 20s. And I have to say, I learned as much from him as he did from me. So I also see, you know, a lot of benefit in that reverse mentoring or that mutual mentoring, if you like, and also a lot of benefit from peer mentoring, especially if you're in an organization or if you want to support a peer who's just been brought into the company. I think sharing those perspectives is invaluable to all of us and can help us to challenge our own way of seeing things. So I would say that mentorship is a really fantastic way to build a support network for advice and professional growth, but it's also a great way to collaborate, to innovate and promote diversity and inclusion. So I would say if your company has a formal mentoring program, do get involved. If not, don't be shy to reach out to people you admire within your organization or outside of your organization. There really isn't a leader I know that isn't happy to share perspectives. And, you know, sometimes all it takes is for us to be vulnerable enough to reach out and ask.
Karen, what advice would you give to marketing professionals who aspire to people leadership positions?
Yeah, look, another great question. I would say we all have opportunities around us to grow and develop as leaders, no matter what level we are in the organization or in what position we're in. So there are three pieces of advice that I would give to those folks who are looking to progress within their organization. The first is say yes. Say yes to stretch assignments that are presented to you, especially if they take you outside of your comfort zone or if you're not 100% qualified. Why? Because these are exactly the type of opportunities where you will learn the most and grow as a leader. These type of assignments or projects, they will raise your visibility. They'll allow leaders to see how versatile you are. And they will also allow leaders to understand your potential, as well as giving you the opportunity to enhance your skills. So even if your company doesn't do stretch assignments, you may be able to take on a leadership position, for example, an employee resource group that's within your company, or to bring forward a new initiative. The second piece of advice I would have is put your hand up for internal job opportunities. Look, often people wait to be asked or they worry that they don't meet 100% of the job requirements. Don't wait. The process of going through interviews allows leaders to see you in a different light. So even if you don't get that role, you are now more visible and you're on the leader's radar. They'll respect your passion. They'll respect your commitment to grow within the company. So always put your hand up, always say yes. And then the third piece of advice I would have is actually reach out and ask advice of leaders. All leaders appreciate being asked for guidance and will help to steer you or to connect you with others. So make all of those conversations two-way. Be prepared to share your perspectives, as this is also something that leaders value. So net-net, be open to growing as a person and as a leader, and the rest will follow. This advice from one of my mentors spurred me to take the leap to move to Asia, and I've never looked back.
Karen, the pandemic has for many of us led to an increase in stress with more hours behind the screen, children on homeschooling, sick loved ones. How do you cope up with the stress and balance family and career? What advice would you have for others?
Yes, that's a very pertinent question. Look, the pandemic has certainly thrown many challenges at us. And while I'm personally extremely fortunate that I have not experienced any of my close family falling sick, I've had team members, especially in India, who have. So like many of you, I've had kids at home schooling, the worry of having family members in different countries, and the challenge in my case of starting a new role at Dell in the middle of a pandemic and not being able to connect face-to-face with my team members or colleagues or even go into the office. So we've definitely all built a lot of resilience during this period. But I would say there are five things that I do and I make part of my routine to maintain that perspective and manage the stress and family balance. So first of all, I take a pause at regular intervals during the day to stop being busy just for a few minutes. Take a few deep breaths, check in on my emotions, on how I'm feeling, and then I focus on who I want to be, whether I want to be composed, whether I want to be focused. And I think just taking that short pause really helps me personally to just kind of regroup for a few minutes. The second thing I do is that I prioritize the critical few. So family engagements or big rocks, big work goals or objectives. I try to set a maximum of five things that I want to achieve that helps me, identify then what to delegate, what to defer, what to do myself. Again, that kind of helps to manage the volume of what I'm doing. The third thing I do is I prioritize myself. And that's hard for me. I would say that's a journey for me, as it will be for many of you. But it is critical that you fill up your own cup every day. So I have what I call my miracle morning ritual. So every morning I do a little bit of meditation. I reflect on what I'm grateful for. And I do some exercise. It may be a small walk, a bit of weights, a dance. And then I ask myself, every day, what's something that I can do for myself today? And it could be something small, could be phoning a friend, could be whatever it is that kind of fills you up. But I try to do that every day. And then the fourth thing I do is I enlist support from others. And it's important to be honest with yourself when you need to reach out for support. And also recognize that when you reach out for help, it shows that you trust others and that you're giving them an opportunity to get involved and maybe develop their skills in new areas. So I find it easier to see asking for help as a gift to others. That helps me shift how I think about it, because I don't find it easy to ask for help. And then finally, I look at the challenges that we're facing today with a much kind of bigger lens. At some stage, this pandemic will be over. And I know we're all hoping for it to be over soon, but I try to look at it with a bigger lens. What can you learn today from what you're experiencing that can help you tomorrow? So I try to take that wider view.
Those are some excellent lessons on how, all of us can get closer to work-life harmony. On that, I had a follow-up question. What are some of the best practices or suggestions for maintaining a strong professional network and relationships in the virtual environment that we are working in? Because back in the day, all of us used to hobnob with each other, meet each other. You'd see people, you'd interact face-to-face, but now everything is virtual. So how are you cracking the code on building and maintaining professional network and relationships in this virtual environment?
Yeah, look, I think for all of us, it's work in progress because we're still not entirely natural to us to all be, you know, connected over Zoom. But there are three things that I try to do. And bear in mind, I started my new role in the pandemic. First of all, I tried to schedule space in my calendar for more informal connections, because obviously when you're in the office, you can connect over the water cooler, you can go out for a coffee. It's much more challenging in the virtual environment. So I can guarantee, however, that there are folks in your professional network right now that are feeling isolated. So reach out, connect via WhatsApp, Teams, quick call, just to ask how things are going, how the families show interest. These are really kind of the ties that bind. That's what I try to do in terms of that informal connection. I think the second thing is be supportive of others. So if you see someone doing a great presentation, reach out and say congratulations. If someone has said something that has inspired you, make that connection. You know, do the same on LinkedIn with your peers. You've learned from somebody in the virtual world and they've inspired you, let them know. So I think that's the other thing. And then the third thing, don't be shy to reach out for advice and guidance. As I said earlier, there isn't a leader I know that isn't happy to share perspectives. And sometimes all it requires is for us to be vulnerable enough.
Karen, what do you identify as your leadership principles?
So that's a good question. I have actually six leadership principles that I take from role to role. And I believe they've served me well and that they resonate well with who I am as a person. So the first thing is to value differences. And I think that the wonderful thing about working in multinational companies such as Dell is the exposure it gives you to professionals from different countries, different ages, different backgrounds. And I do believe that everyone brings unique perspectives and things to the table. So very open to different ways of doing things. And I really cherish the unique gifts that people bring. And it's amazing what problems can be solved when a few people come together to provide inputs and they come from different backgrounds. So that's the first thing. I think the second thing, and I alluded to it earlier, is the power of shared purpose. It can make the impossible possible. I think it all comes down to, you know, the relationships, the interaction, the collaboration, you know, having that common sense of purpose, the right intentions to make a difference, super, super powerful. The third thing is to celebrate success. I believe in being supportive of everyone's success and taking the learning from it. So even if a competitor is successful, I think, okay, what did they do differently? How are they smarter or better? What can I learn from it? So I think that part of your mindset, I think that you view things differently. And then the fourth one is grit. And this is a big one for me. I come from a fairly humble family background. So this value is really what keeps me real. And it also, you know, has told me to work for what I want. You know, I get things done, make things happen. So that grit, that determination is really, I would say, a big part of who I am. And then fifth, I would say authenticity. And look, I think this one has become more and more important to me over the years as a leader. And one benefit that we all have working from home is that we actually get to see each other in our home environments. We get to see a different side of folks. And this helps to engage in a more authentic way. So I would say that one small upside of the pandemic is that we feel more connected in that sense. And then finally, look, invest in self. You know, in our industry, in our fields, things move incredibly fast. We all need to, you know, build capabilities, build resilience over time. And as I said earlier, just get the right balance in terms of work-life balance. Do things that nourish you so that you've got the headspace to think of new ways to do things and time to devote to learning. And finally, I do practice gratitude daily. Every day I look at things that I really appreciate and I'm grateful.
Thank you for that, Karen. I think a lot of that is very critical for just the times that we are in today and very well put. My next question to you is on hiring. Can you talk to us a bit about what do you look for in people that you bring onto your team?
Yeah, most of the folks that I will interview will be for senior roles. So they all got great marketing skills, super backgrounds. So what I look for over and above that is, one is attitude and resilience. You know, do people have the passion and the will to work? Do they have a hunger for the role or the opportunity? And the ability to bounce back and be optimistic, that's one thing. The second thing, and I think this is important for our industry where we are now, is do folks have that learning agility, that problem-solving capability? Because the world of marketing is evolving so fast. The skills we need today will not be the skills we need tomorrow. But if someone has that learning agility, they can problem solve with others, then they will be successful. So I test and look for that. And then the third thing is values. You know, do people have strong integrity? Are they authentic? What can they work well with others? Are they collaborative and supportive? And do they have the right values in terms of respect and value differences within the team and within people that they meet? So they're the three things I would say that I look for over and above core marketing skills that I'm sure, you know, everybody who's listening to this podcast can.
Karen, Dell's goal is to drive human progress through technology. We'd love to get some examples of how Dell is achieving this goal in reality today.
Yeah, and look, isn't that a wonderful kind of goal to have and a wonderful, you know, purpose statement? So I feel extremely proud to work for a company that is so dedicated to making a difference in the world. So as an organization, we have four areas that we focus on. One is advancing sustainability. The second is cultivating inclusion. The third is transforming lives through technology. And then finally, upholding ethics and privacy. We have set what we're calling our moonshot goals for 2030 around each of these categories. And we actually report on our progress on a yearly basis. So I'll just give you a couple of examples just to give you a sense of what we're doing. So for example, for sustainability, by 2030, for every product a customer buys, we will reuse or recycle an equivalent product. 100% of our packaging will be made from recycled or renewable material. And more than half of our product content will be made from recycled or renewable material. Another goal includes sourcing 75% of our electricity from renewable sources across all of our Dell technology facilities by 2030. And look, these kind of goals and objectives, they really mean a lot to people today. And we also find that when we're reaching out to younger people to bring them into the organization, these are things that matter. And we've got really cool innovations. So, for example, we use purchased recycled plastic water bottles to go into our desktop and our monitors. We work with the aerospace industry in their supply chain to use carbon fiber waste in our laptops to make them lighter and stronger. And we use, there's actually a polymer that's in car windscreens. We actually extract that. We reuse it and use it to coat the eco backpacks that we make. So, you know, we look at every possibility in terms of materials innovation. And we also work to protect the natural wonders of the world. So we're currently doing a really cool project with the citizens of the Great Barrier Reef to deploy our edge technology to monitor the reef and contribute to the conservation efforts of the reef. So they're just a couple of examples. But yeah, it's wonderful to work for a company that has a higher goal.
Thank you, Karen. That's super insightful and awesome to know that Dell is doing all these amazing things. And with that, that's a wrap on our podcast. Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Adil and Koshi.
Hey, that was our conversation with Karen Holland, Vice President of Marketing for Asia Pacific and Japan at Dell. Thank you for joining us. And if you've liked what you've heard, don't forget to subscribe to us. We're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major podcast networks. Until our next episode, this is me, Adil Bandukwala.
And Kaushik Satish, signing off for the Great Indian Marketing Show.